Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh.
Oh yeah, the Christmas season. Everybody is happy and full of joy and just bouncing off the walls with glee. We have Patrick Doyle here in the studio with us to let the air out of our sneakers this morning on this whole holiday happiness issue. Yes, sir.
Welcome, Scrooge.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Patrick, he heads up the Veritas Counseling, and so if you want to just, you know, get first-class depressed, call this number, 622-6018.
Well, sometimes you got to get depressed before you can get better.
There we go. Anyway, we're here to talk about holiday depression a little bit this morning.
Yes.
Now, we're here to build you up, not tear you down.
That's right.
And so, but it is a reality. Some
yes.
folks go into the season, and they become mean and ugly, and they kind of auger in, and there's a lot of reasons for it, I guess.
Yeah, there are. You know, I'll start, Perry, with just a little illustration of why I think this is important to talk about. Is that in my own life, when I was 10, on Christmas morning, my mom died.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
Yeah. And my dad, every year after that, thought a good idea would be to go to her grave first thing Christmas morning.
No. Okay.
Well, plus, he was a little bit intoxicated. And you know, for years, for me, Christmas was a dreaded event. I didn't like the season. I didn't look forward to it. And I had legitimate reasons. And I remember my first Christmas with my wife, Catherine. Now, Catherine, if anybody doesn't know, is a severely excellent decorator.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 Christmas trees in my house.
Good.
You know, and I have, you know, the winter wonderland of Christmas and beauty in my house.
That's wonderful.
It is. It's glorious.
Yeah. So then she married you.
Yeah. Well, so
she needed counseling.
Yeah, well, after she did, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So the first year we're married, Christmas rolls around. Now, I've never told her that my mom died on Christmas Day. She knew my mom died, but she didn't know when.
Wow.
So I'm laying on the couch, you know, and she's like buzzing around the house all chipper and whistling and decorating, and I'm laying on the couch like somebody just sucked my will to live out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally she's just like, what is wrong with you?
Good. That little pointed question that only can come from a spouse, right?
Exactly. And yeah. I'm like, nothing.
Yeah, nothing. No, that was the right answer. Good.
The classic.
So when she says nothing, you're supposed to just accept it, right?
Yeah, right. I'm like, nothing?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no, come on, what's going on? And I said, well, you know, I just have a hard time with Christmas. And she's like, you have a hard time with Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought you were, you know, we're believers. You know, why you have a hard time with Christmas? So I told her the whole story, you know, about what happened to me and how it always brings back those memories. And, you know, she went from tilted forward, you know, trying to figure me out to compassionate and loving and understanding. It was beautiful how God, you know, used her to help me through that initially. But in every year since then, it's been a little bit of a healing process for me. And then when I had kids, man, my world really started changing around Christmas because I started seeing Christmas totally different than I used to. And now, remember, in most of this, I'm a believer. And I'm very grateful for Christmas in that sense, spiritually. I mean, I'm sitting here today as evidence, as proof that Christmas is real, that the death of Christ, you know, the birth and death and resurrection of Christ, you know, that is why I'm here. So needless to say, I had a lot of baggage about Christmas that I couldn't control. I didn't want my mom to die on Christmas Day. I didn't want my dad to react the way he did, but it happened. And there's a lot of things in families that have happened around the holidays, or there's a lot of brokenness in the family that gets exposed during the holidays because we want our holidays to be like on the postcard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like in the movies.
Right.
We want it to be warm and loving and everybody gets along. Well, that's not true. There's a lot of families where there's people missing because they've died. There's people, you know, who have maybe been in accidents, who are crippled. There's people who aren't there at all because they decided to have another relationship. There's children that aren't there because they're doing something the family can't tolerate, or everybody's there and there's a lot of tension. So these things are very real. The other thing about Christmas I think is important to recognize is that we all loosen up as it relates to eating and drinking a little bit or a lot bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more drinking that goes on, and sometimes that's the way we handle the extra difficulty. So here's the deal. Again, my goal is this. Look, my goal is to help people resolve the trouble, okay? You can't change someone else's actions or their experiences, but you can help them experience them very differently. So my point is this. Look, the way I experience Christmas today is profoundly different than how I experienced it years ago. And I attribute that not to me, but to God's mercy, in that he continued to work forgiveness into my heart, because that was the main thing that kept me from enjoying Christmas.
The irony of this is that Christmas has a tendency to remind you of everything that's not instead of everything that is.
Exactly.
The is part being, you know, it's the birth of Christ,
right?
The gift of the world.
It's the hope of the world.
So all of that gets somewhat, you know,
dimmed.
Yeah. By you come from a broken home.
Yeah.
Things are not the way you want it to be. Mm-hmm. It's not warm and fuzzy.
Right.
In fact, all your guards are up. The only thing about the holidays I don't like is the time pressure.
Yeah.
I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I love New Year's. I like time off. I like all the food and all that stuff. I just don't like the time pressure.
Right. Which is another thing. So think about a scenario. There's many people listening, I know, who this, you know, I talked to a guy a couple weeks ago who, you know, had Thanksgiving alone for the first time in his entire life.
Hmm.
And he said, I was just, you know, sobbing most of the day. That's a reality.
Yeah, you know, I thought of that about my mom. Mm. She's gone now, but five children, and our house was buzzing all the time.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And our house was full of a lot of humor.
Right.
I mean, that's I think it was one of the virtues of our family. Then all of a sudden, you think about these moms raised these kids, and we all went out and got married, and we all have our own children and all this and that. And one day I woke up and I said, you know what? My mother is waking up Christmas morning in an empty house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, now don't get me wrong. Everybody descended on her later on during the day.
Sure, right.
But I thought, you know, those seasons of life are very difficult to transition through.
Right. And so part of what I'm trying to say today is as a family of God, we need to understand that that's real and that people need our compassion and that they need the hope of the world in us demonstrated to them, not putting the extra expectation on people, not putting the extra time pressure on people. One of the traditions that we've sort of started in my own family, and it's basically completely aimed at dealing with this time pressure that you talk about, Perry, is that the 2 or 3 days prior to Christmas Eve, Catherine and I and the boys have been trying the last 2 or 3 years. We've done it successfully. This year it won't work, but we've gotten away for 2 or 3 days. We go away. Our tradition has been going to Running Y, and we spend 2 or 3 days just together as a family. And we play board games, and we just hang out, and there's no pressure, and there's no – and then when we come back on Christmas Eve, everything's done. You know, we just come back to enjoy Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. So it helps us slow it all down. But if you're buzzing right up to Christmas Day – and I've done this so many times. I have been one of those mad hatters out there at Christmas Eve flying around like a nut job trying to get all this stuff taken care of. I can tell you that was not enjoyable. And so I'm encouraging people. I don't know if anybody goes through Advent, but I would encourage you to do that.
We're doing it with the grandkids.
Yeah, it forces you to start to focus. Mm. And there's plenty of things in this time of year that will distract you from focusing on the point. Mm. The point is, look, we have hope because of the birth of Christ. No matter how difficult your circumstance is, no matter how painful it is, there's hope. If you're enjoying the beauty of Christmas and there's no problems, praise God. I am so grateful for that for you. And I want to rejoice with those folks. But, you know, let's be real. We have two sides to a story here. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage people that it's not hopeless and that you can have a terrible experience in one part of your life and God can redeem it into something totally different.
Well, you add to that, the world is clearly out of control.
Yeah.
Clearly out of control. this could be the most redeeming Christmas of your life if you'll focus on what God was trying to say to us from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So loved you that he gave.
Yeah.
Here's the Christmas gift
that's
going to last throughout eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And the statistics are now showing, even here with us, what we're doing at the Dove,
mm-hmm.
the amount of, if I can use the word nominal believers or non-believers, mm-hmm. that are tuning in, trying to get their life refocused.
Right.
It's huge. All right, let's go to the phones. Hi, Cindy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I wanted to ask Patrick, he was about to talk about forgiveness.
Yes.
So, what about it?
Well, forgiveness, to me, is the antidote to resentment. And many people around Christmas time, the hurt that they've experienced with their family members or with people around them that they're going to have to see that they don't necessarily want to. God gave us a remedy for resentment. And resentment is when you take the poison and you wait for the other guy to die. Okay? It's not a good strategy. Forgiveness is the antidote. And forgiveness has nothing to do with resolving the injustice yourself. Forgiveness is about trusting God to do the justice about that person's injustice. Forgiveness, from God's perspective, is not optional. It is mandatory, and it has nothing to do with the other person. So it looks like this. So who do I trust to make right the wrong that person did to me? If I trust myself, I'm going to be very frustrated because I can't knock their head off or, you know, hurt them. I mean, I could, but that wouldn't be justice. That would be injustice on top of injustice. So I go to God and I say, God, look, I need you to grant me forgiveness. And I want to say this very specifically. God grants forgiveness. It's not something you muster up. It's not something you intellectually ascend to. It's something God gives you. And what God wants you to do is trust him to do the justice. And here's what I always tell folks, Cindy. Look, God does justice, but he only does it in two ways. He either pours out all of his wrath on Christ in place of that person, or he sends them to hell forever. But either way, justice will be done. And my problem, Cindy, with God's justice a lot of times is I want it my way and I want it in my time. And
well, that's why in the holidays you're waiting, I guess, or haven't been graced with forgiveness yet, and you're around people that you're really uncomfortable with.
Right. Exactly, and that's my point. And sometimes it's just very difficult. And my point, though, is in that process, focus on having God help you, not on getting that person to behave differently.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, Cindy, Scripture says you overcome evil with good. And you may have a lot of hard feelings and hurt feelings. But if you have asked the Lord to forgive you, and you work through that, and you literally treat that person with genuine kindness birthed out of conviction from God, watch the circumstances change.
Yeah, but I want to also encourage you, it's not easy.
No, and, it's not.
And it's a very...
You can always sleep in. Don't go to the party. I mean.
But the other thing is that I would like to say is that, you know, it's a process. It's not an event. Forgiving someone takes time because... Particularly if you're in a situation where the person's continuing to wound you, you can't get away from it. It takes time because, you know, as soon as you start to get some forgiveness in your soul, there's another wound. And so it's really, I'm telling you this, it's a spiritual deal. And I know from personal experience when God does grant you that forgiveness, things change and you can't explain it necessarily. But I know that it's possible, and the goal is I keep going to God with, God, I need your help to love this person, to forgive them, to be kind. Now, remember, forgiveness does not mean that you have to have a relationship with them. Forgiveness and reconciliation are different.
Yeah.
You must forgive, but you're not required to have a relationship. So if somebody tells me that they're sorry, but I don't see any evidence in that in their behavior, there's no fruit of repentance, I'm not required to have a relationship with them.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks.
Thank you.
776-5368 if you want to join the conversation. Patrick Doyle here from Veritas Counseling. We're talking about some of the emotional struggles that we go through this time of the year.
Yep.
And the number to his office, if you want to make an appointment with him, is 622-6018. That's 622-6018. Or you can call him here. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you want to remain anonymous, we'll respect that request as well. Not give your name. The number is 776-5368. There's a lot of emotions stirred up around this time.
Absolutely.
And it comes out of a lot of things. We see the person who doesn't change, and that lack of change. What we're sensing is their spirit is conflicting with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of have to qualify your own spirit. Mm-hmm. Is your own spirit right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading in 2 Corinthians 13 this morning. Interesting verse in there. It says, test yourselves to see if you are in Christ. How many times have I read that but never saw it?
Right.
In other words, qualify your own relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's some not shored up points in there, you ought to take care of that and then watch your attitude change towards the one that you're hoping will change.
Right. Well, that's such a theme all throughout Scripture, is God keeps calling people to be personally responsible first before they deal with somebody else. You know, I love that example of how Jesus, you know, said, hey, if you come to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, go make it right. Then come back and make your offering. God's like, go make it right before you come talk to me or make your offering. And when Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of your brother's, again, are you going to listen to somebody with a giant log coming out of their eye and they're going to try to pick your splinter out? Probably not.
All right. I'll come back to that scripture in just a moment. Hi, ma'am. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I just had a couple comments. I don't know if they would help anyone or not.
Okay.
On the issue of forgiving, sometimes the pain is so deep that, you know, in our humanness, we don't want to forgive.
True.
But yet God says forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at least for myself, I found it to be helpful if I'm in that position to say, Lord, I don't want to forgive this person. Help me get to the point where I even give you permission to help me want to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
So I go clear back to the very root and ask God to help me deal with that I will even give him permission to help me want to forgive and help me deal with forgiveness.
Yeah, man, the old prayer says, make me willing to be willing.
Right,
yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, taking that issue before the Lord, and for me, this works, and I don't know if it would help anybody else. I just picture that and that issue that I need to forgive, and it's a bitterness in your heart when you have that unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ask God to help me pull it out and
right.
pull it all out, even down to the roots, even to the little hair roots like you have in plants. Get every single bit of it out.
There you go. Good stuff.
And it really makes a huge difference. And once you've done it, what a relief. What a joy. What a
right.
relief.
And sometimes it takes a little time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. All right. 776-5368 if you want to join the conversation. Let me read that scripture to you.
Okay.
Paul says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Now, have we ever asked ourselves, are we really in the faith? Are we really doing? And then it goes on to say, test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you?
Uh-huh.
And so the question comes out of that is, if people were to see Christ in you, what would they see?
Mm-hmm.
A hateful Christ? An unforgiving Christ?
Right.
A mean Christ? Mm-hmm. An angry Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Hi, Deborah. Yeah. You're next. Go ahead.
Good morning. I know a little bit about forgiveness, and I wanted to share what the Lord taught me.
Good.
I grew up with a father who was a sociopath. And he abused my brothers and my mother and I in unmentionable ways. I became a Christian, and the first thing that the Lord began to talk to me about was forgiving my father.
Yep.
And
so you could have freedom.
He's so wise.
Exactly.
But in the beginning, it was a moment at a time,
mm-hmm.
and then it was a day. And then it was a week when I would go, a week would go by. And there were times when I had gotten better at forgiveness, when, things would rise up in me that were, you know, set off by something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to remember that I had chosen to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to say, I resist this. Mm-hmm. I am not bound any longer by the spirit of hate or unforgiveness. But in the beginning, the one thing that really stands out in my memory about forgiveness was that I had said to the Lord, I can't.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
The Lord said to me, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. And so I want to say that it doesn't matter what anybody says to you, there is nothing that is bigger than the forgiveness that God can give you in, mm-hmm. in your heart.
That's right.
And my father passed away 3 years ago, and when he died, we were actually in relationship.
Mm.
And that is huge. I prayed for him, for his salvation, for more than 30 years.
Did he repent?
I don't know. Although I do know that I talked to his nurses afterwards, and she said, had he lived longer, he would have made it right with all of you.
Mm. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So, thanks, Devorah.
God bless.
You too. 776-5368. Well, you touched a little nerve with all this today. I think people are trying to find that genuine happiness during this happy time of the year.
Right.
You know, and they know mm-hmm. there's a part of their life that just doesn't fit the mold. Mm-hmm. And there's this odd piece out.
A lot of hurt. Yeah, hey, there's a lot of evil in this world. And, you know, a lot of us who are believers are carrying, you know, around wounds that happened, you know, not even because we wanted them. They just are. So we have like Devorah was saying, we can either deal with it or we can let it deal with us. And I'm encouraging people, as the holiday brings this stuff to the surface, take advantage of God's mercy in bringing it to the surface and deal with it. Maybe not with the person. Maybe that's not where you need to start. Maybe it's you recognizing, man, I really do don't like that person. I need to deal with that. Maybe you do need to talk to your pastor, your a good friend, or call my office or something. I don't know. But you can't just keep letting it sit because it'll eat you alive eventually.
Jesus said, forgive as you've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, right.
I mean, all of a sudden you think about us and how God has forgiven us and the mess mm-hmm. that we're in. He mm-hmm. just flat wiped the slate clean.
That's right.
And we're supposed to do that with somebody that's mm-hmm. abused us?
Only through his power. It's not humanly possible.
All right. Hi, Roy. You're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question for Patrick there. What do you tell a guy that is so angry that he refuses to forgive, doesn't even, in fact, as he made the statement one time, this particular guy has gone to heaven, I don't want to be there, I won't never forgive him for nothing.
Right, right. Well, what I would tell that guy is that the resentment that he's carrying towards that person is killing him.
Sure it is. I know it.
And you know, until you have a desire for freedom from it, here's the other thing, Roy, is that people who've been really hurt, their only relationship that they can tolerate with that person is one of hate.
Yeah.
And really, that's a spiritual work. I've worked with a lot of people who, you know, just God didn't grace them with that brokenness about, you know, hey, I'm no better. Actually, in God's eyes, I'm deserving of the same fate.
Mm-hmm.
But God forgave me. And so, God, I need help. I don't want to. And the pain is so deep and the trench is so deep that it's humanly impossible for that person to get out apart from God's intervention. And I think it's important, Roy, as a friend or as someone who knows this guy, you know, bringing it up occasionally is you're being a vessel of God and not letting him forget that there is hope to do it another way. I think that's really important. But we have to turn that outcome over to God as much as we want to help him. You know, sometimes
there's nothing I can do about it other than try and point him to God. But at this point, he said, well, that guy claims he was a Christian. If he's a Christian going to heaven, I don't want to be there.
Right. Yeah. Well, and so the other thing I would say, Roy, is that he also needs to understand who God is. And you need to maybe, if you can, help him understand that God's not unjust. If that guy did that and he says he's a Christian, you know, that's not something God would approve of.
Yeah.
And God either punished Christ on his behalf or he sent him to hell forever.
Mm-hmm.
But that violation was paid for.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Roy.
Okay.
Bye. Well, we're out of time. interesting stuff. Can't take any more calls out of time. Patrick Doyle's office number is 622-6018. We're going into a season that can be just the opposite of what we want it to be and what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a very hard time emotionally for a lot of people mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I would hope people would do, that if they are hurting, mm-hmm. that they seek out somebody that they can
reach
talk
out.
To.
Yeah, don't keep it in.
Yeah, don't keep it in. And this is a wonderful time. Perhaps mm-hmm. the greatest Christmas gift you can get is the release of this pain emotion.
Absolutely.
And it just comes through a little guidance from people who know what they're doing.
That's right. And it's funny because I'm leaving at the end of the week to go to Maine.
Maine?
Because my aunt died.
Oh.
And this is my father's sister.
Oh.
My father's sister who died. So I'm going and I'm meeting people I've never met before. Because of my dad's estrangement from his own family, I have relatives I've never met before. You know, I have just tons of family on that side that I've never met before. So I'm going to a funeral. So it's a really interesting thing is that in the middle of all this, here I am going over there and I have, you know, all of this stuff that's going to be coming emotionally. And, you know, it's all spurred because someone died. And the reason that they died and I didn't know them is because of how my dad acted. Now, if I didn't have forgiveness, this could be a totally different trip. But because of God's grace, I'm looking forward to going and meeting these people that I've never met before. And that's a testimony to how God redeems. He never leaves anything unredeemed.
Patrick Doyle, Veritas Counseling, 622-6018. And call, make an appointment, and start this Christmas season or enjoy this Christmas season with the release of that thing that you've been carrying. God bless you, pal. Have a good trip.
Bet.
When are you going?
Leaving Saturday.
All right.